Hi, it's Brittany Nola, Miss November 2012. I star in American Ecstasy, and you're watching Mr. Media.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to escort-turned-documentary filmmaker Kristen D'Angelo, star and executive producer of American Courtesans. Stick around. We're talking sex for pay today, and the men who love it. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible.com, and 1-800-DIAL-DJs. Please stop by the website, MrMedia.com, click on our advertisers, support the show. And remember, there's more than 1,000 interviews available at MrMedia.com. We've been doing this since February 2007. Hope you'll find something you like. And thanks for listening. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of escorts, hookers, prostitutes, courtesans, and the Johns who love them, 1 hour at a time, in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Kristen D'Angelo has had one of those lives that people talk about in whispers. She was a woman who took money for sex with strangers. And like most of the ladies who find themselves in this industry, and make no mistake, it is an industry, she has quite a story to tell. Not necessarily a happy story at all times, but it's hers and she's chosen to own it. Now, not only that, but she's now selling more than her body. Kristen has put her entire life's experience, as well as those of many other women in the oldest profession, on full display as the star and executive producer of a new documentary film, American Courtesans. This is, not surprisingly, a largely positive portrayal of the women who have either chosen the sex worker life or have been forced into the business, usually by men. What is surprising is the sometimes mixed portrayal of men. Speaking generally, the men who often cause these women to enter this life are horrid con men, rapists, and sometimes worse. But then there's a section of the film in praise of men and supporting them and their needs. One of the women actually says, and I'm quoting here, in terms of selling her body to men for money, I think it's a healthy thing. I think it prevents cancer, which I'll point out that Kristen immediately says, I didn't say that. She wants to clarify that immediately. But it is what one of the women said. There's so much to talk about, there's so little time. American Courtesans debuts nationwide on Blu-ray and DVD on July 12th. And Kristen D'Angelo, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here, Bob.
Glad to have you. I got to ask you right off the top, the thing that struck me after watching the film was, why call the movie American Courtesans? Why not, I hate to say it, but American Victims? I mean, I come away after watching it, there's a lot of messages, but the one that kept hitting me over and over again was that so many of these women are really victims in the story.
I don't think it's a story about victims. I think what I did in doing this is I wanted to portray all sides. And I got together a group of women who were real in this industry, who'd been here a while, or even if they hadn't, in the time they'd been here, they'd earned my respect, or I knew of them, and I knew that they were real. We got together, and we just decided to tell our life stories. I don't think there's one of us that looks at us as ourselves as being a victim. In fact, right now, everyone in the film, it's a choice that we're here in this industry. It's a choice that we become sex workers. In fact, we believe it's an issue of control over our own bodies. Now, that doesn't mean that's how we all got here, obviously. Right. And when you tell the truth, it's not always pretty, you know, but it's the world we found ourselves in, and it's our world now, you know. And I think that it's really sort of a story of empowerment. No matter what we've been through, all of us have learned to sort of embrace our lives and who we are and make something of ourselves, you know?
Well, for people who haven't seen it yet, to kind of describe the movie, it's largely you sitting with other women, they're telling their stories, you're kind of interviewing them, and then late in the film, we actually get your story, You tell your story to one of the women. And, I mean, it just seemed to me, and I know there's a conversation in there. Are you a victim? Am I a victim? I don't feel like a victim. But listening to the stories, there was a lot of victimization that went on that started a lot of these women in this industry. I'm not exaggerating that, I don't think.
Honestly, I'm not sure how unrepresentative we are of the population as a whole. If you look at the types of things we talked about, it was everything from having an abusive parent to a man taking advantage of us to rape, molestation. There's all different kinds of victimization. If you lined up 100 women and took the same poll of how many of those had ever had anything like that happen to them, I'm not sure that you wouldn't get a large amount that hadn't suffered some trauma here in the U.S. We don't tend to talk about it. The difference was, is when we came together to do this film, we sort of decided that this is really a women's issue. I mean, it's a male issue now, too. There are a lot of men sex workers, so I'm not discounting that. But it's an issue of things that we don't really talk about here. And when we do, it's all like, oh, that poor woman was victimized. We never talk about how we overcome that, you know, how we grow, how those worst instances can become our best assets if we let them. We learn, we change, and we become stronger. Many women here in the U.S. are, I call them warriors, not survivors.
Mm. All right. That's fair enough. Tell me, tell folks watching, I guess, a little about how and when you got involved with this in the first place. It seemed like it's a two-stage thing because you started young, and then I think in 2002 you came back to it in a different way. So maybe just kind of give folks a brief history of your involvement.
I started very young, and I was from a great family. I mean, I am from a great family. It wasn't about my family. I was raised by my stepfather and mother, and my father, a company man, you know, back in the day, a lot of company men worked their whole life at the same company. His job was transferred overseas to a third world country that was predominantly Muslim, and it probably wasn't good to take a teenage daughter with them. So they went over there to work because that's what you have to do if you're a working class family and you're supporting yourself.
Sure.
You go where your job is. And I stayed in the States. And of course, at that time, I was all on board because as a teenager, who wouldn't love that freedom? I mean, think about it. All of a sudden, you're in a rented room and it was like crazy. I was excited. However, as time goes on, you realize you can't just go, Dad, I need $20. So I did what everybody did. I opened the Yellow Pages. I was going to get a job and, you know, well, it wasn't the Yellow Pages. It was the newspaper back then. You know, you open the want ads. And I saw these jobs. And I went for an interview at a massage parlor thinking I was really going to get massages. So my entrance into the story wasn't a story of victimization. That happened more inside the industry in the early years because there was no protection. There was nobody for me to turn to. I actually walked in full accord and was going to get a job. I mean, my own volition. So, but what transpires to many young women in this industry is like pretty bumpy once you get here if you aren't used to that kind of thing. So, entered the industry that way, worked for many years and actually worked my way up, ended up in the brothels in Nevada for a long time. Ended up in Carson City at the Kit Kat, which back then was a booming place, and worked there until I'd made a lot of money and I sort of retired. I went to college, did it broken because I kept working. You know how kids are sort of all over the place. And long story short is I did end up retiring after a violent incident. I was working again, and I went back to college and got a degree in finance. At that point, I worked my way up in a brokerage firm, became a broker, and thought, really, that's what I would do, you know, the rest of my life. But what happened was I became ill, and in 2002, I re-entered this industry, and that was at the age when the internet had come up. And so that's how this happened, or my career happened. So I'd been back in the industry a while, and the thing that hit me was that it never changes. The same things that were happening to these women when I was a kid are still happening to women today. You know, the same abuses, the same inability to report crimes against us, the same protections under the law. And so that's how the film transpired.
Now, I've got to ask you, you said that you went, you left the life, you went to college, you became a broker. why couldn't you stick with being a broker to earn money and a life? And I mean, is there something about this life that draws you back? Or is it your financial training? You looked at it and you see all these women at that point in 2002 were starting to make a ton of – a lot of women were making a ton of money by having their own named websites and doing pictures, doing video, doing escorting, whatever they were doing.
Actually, 2002, there weren't websites yet. A couple services had them, and maybe one or two women in the United States. I mean, I know you don't know the timing, because who would pay attention to that? Nobody would, except us. But what happened is I became ill. I have an illness, which I choose not to talk about, and it was the beginning of that. And long hours and stress were going to, you know, it's a question of quality of life. Mm-hmm. And I made decisions that have a higher quality of life. And what that meant was it meant figuring a way that I could work less hours and enjoy life more without the stress. And I began looking around. And honestly, my first stop was not becoming an escort. I actually ran an escort service in the Northern California area for a little while, thinking that that's what I would do. And it wasn't what I wanted to do. And at that point, the internet started coming up, and I thought, okay, I could try that. I've had the option to go back into finance. It's long hours, the economy the way it is. Brokers get beat up. They get really beat up emotionally. And another industry, the media, sometimes can be a little hard on, and sometimes they're wonderful with them. But finance, you know, it's been iffy in the last few years, especially because of all the abuses that have happened. But it was tough, the number of hours I was working in. I decided I wanted to come home. This is an industry where the people accept me, where I can be myself. I could work less hours. And honestly, my clients treated me and do like gold. They're wonderful.
I looked at your website. You describe yourself as an elite companion. But isn't that, I mean, that's got to be stressful as well. And it's a bit dangerous dealing with people you don't know. No?
It is. And there are times that stress can be overwhelming. Honestly, I know almost everybody I see today. I have clients around the world and across the U.S. And so I do see occasionally a new client, but usually it's clients that I've known for a long time. Thus, the stress level is much less. Okay. The things you worry about more are the raids the U.S. government does. You know, it's like I think they sort of hunt us down for political fodder, you know, when somebody's campaign is a little shaky, you know. We're easy to make brownie points with, you know. And I had somebody recently ask me about that, like, why do you think this happens? And I'm like, well, if you were to take that manpower, the same amount of manpower where you could get maybe 80 men or 80 clients, you know, for say, and make big headlines, that amount of manpower, you're lucky to get one rapist because they're harder to get.
Right.
So it's really hard to make headlines with that same amount of money or resources. And we make great headlines. Everybody likes the sensation. So, but that's the stress for me. That's the stress here.
Well, let's come back to the more general topic of the film. You talked to a number of women in the film who are, I say older, I mean, I'm middle-aged. I mean, they're older. They've been around the block. They've been at it for a while. Do you find many women in general who've been able to successfully just walk away from the life, or does it kind of pull them back?
Honestly, most of them do walk away. That's why there's so few of us who've been around for decades. You know, if all the women who started, I mean, any day of the week, open up any website, adult website, and you'll see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women. A year from now, most of those women will be gone. Hmm. 2 years from now, there'll be a small amount. 5 years, even smaller. So when I look across the United States and I look at the women that started when I did, that still are around, we're such a minority, such a minority. So either women get out of it of their own volition, or because something steps in and makes them get out of it, or because of violence, you know, they're no longer around. But yeah, very few actually stay.
And what's the effect on, and you talk about this a bit in the film, what's the effect on relationships? I mean, there were some women in the film, there's one particular woman, I think, who had her, I think it was her husband, maybe a boyfriend, I think it was her husband, interviewed with her. It's got to be hard to maintain a relationship with a woman, or even a man, for, you know, who's a professional sex worker. Am I exaggerating that?
I think it is hard. And I think a lot of it's hard is because of just human emotion. There's a big difference between monogamy of the body and monogamy of the heart. Jules talks about that in the film. And in the United States, we tend to tie those together. Most other countries, well, it's legal in most other countries. They don't quite as much. But because we tie that together so much here, it becomes very hard. And that is one of the things you often trade in this lifestyle, you know, is that relationship.
Doing a website is a kind of a great marketing tool for someone who wants to be an escort or a porn star or whatever. Doing a film, it's a giant leap from a website. Why make a movie like this? Why now? Why at this point in your career?
It honestly, people think, you know, oh, this could be an advertising thing or to push your career forward. It's sort of imploded a lot of our careers. One of the women's been arrested since then. Anytime you step out, and we've always known this, if you step out, you're not safe. That's why women never talk except in response to something bad happening. You know, something bad happens, and then, of course, the defense comes out. But the reason we decided to do this is because really nothing changes if nothing changes. Someone has to step out. If we ever want the laws in the U.S. and those misconceptions about us to change, how are people going to know that we're real people or who we are unless somebody takes that plunge? And the older women in the film, we've been around long enough to know that we're at the end or retiring from our careers. And it's sort of like a give back, you know, like if we can do something good to make life safer for the other women involved, well, we're trying. So
I mean, if the movie's released this week, it'll be out on DVD and Blu-ray July 12th. So in the months that come, the years that come, If you have women who come to you and say, you know, I saw your movie and it made me, it encouraged me, I became an escort after that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm not sure anybody's going to become an escort because of a film they watch. It'd be like saying if you go watch something else and you become that person because you watch the film. I'm not sure that's going to happen. And it isn't like somebody can just say they're going to be an escort. They can try the job. The profession's very different. Just like any other job, there takes a specific set of skills that you have to be adept at, and not everybody is. So people can say they're going to do it for money. Usually that ends up in a bad way. You have to be very well suited. But I'm not sure anybody's going to want to become an escort because of this. I also want to tell you, I don't know if you know, but we're rolling out in over 100 million homes on cable coming up on video on demand.
Oh, I didn't know that, no.
Yes, on Friday too.
Okay.
Yes. So everything from Comcast, I'll tell you at the end.
Okay. Well, yeah. We'll make sure that information gets out. So what would be, you know, how would you measure success for the film? Obviously, you'd like to have a lot of people choose it on demand. You'd like to sell a lot of DVDs. But in terms of the social impact, what would you like to happen? Do you take a point of view that you'd like to see sex workers legalized more broadly in the United States? So you do you want laws enacted, or you just want to get the word out about what the life is really like?
I think each of us in the film has a different take. Some of us want deregulation. Some of us want legalization. Some of us just want equal rights under the laws, like protection, to be able to call 911. I think that my personal take on it is I would just like it to start conversations, to put it on the table that maybe our preconceived notions about this industry aren't exactly accurate, and to start people talking until we become real, until people start talking about us in their homes and understanding that we're just like everybody else, things will never change. So my intention was just to start the dialogue, to open doors into our lives so people could, for a moment, could walk in our footsteps.
Let me ask you, I've tried to be very kind of serious and straightforward in the question so far, but I every career, every business, every industry has its moments of humor and levity, no matter what you do. I'm sure even the people who work in nuclear factories, we have the yeah. Simpsons making fun of that. Is there humor in what you do? Do you get any laughs out of it, either with clients or with other women who do what you do? Is there humor, or is it just a very serious pursuit?
No, I cannot tell you. Especially the women in the industry, when we get together and talk, you can't even imagine the stories we have to tell. It is amazing. Like at a point, you think, okay, I have to stop because I have to breathe in between the laughter. That, and of course, oh my gosh, my clients, think about this. Our clients represent men from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. We get to see some of the funniest men on this planet and people who are just wonderful, intelligent. So yeah, lots of laughter, lots of good times. Honestly, on a percentage of good versus bad, 99% good, 98% good, and maybe I'm exaggerating, but a huge, vast majority of the interactions are wonderful. It's just when you have a bad one, mm-hmm. Those are the ones that sort of, touch your soul and you remember. But so do the good ones. Great people, and yeah, lots of laughs.
And what about this? Years ago, I did this book with this old comic book artist, and he used to like to tell people that in the 40s, when he started out, that comic book people, comic book writers, comic book artists, were just below pornographers in the social hierarchy of creative professions. So I want to ask you, in the same social hierarchy applied to what you do, who ranks higher? Escorts, porn stars, adult publishers, that kind of thing. What's the social hierarchy in your industry?
You probably have the adult publishers, the big businesses first, of course. Then you probably go down to porn stars. Honestly, escorts are near the bottom, you would put it just in a sex worker category. We're still way behind the porn industry. There used to be days where they used to, hunt down people in porn too. But we're way behind that. So nowadays people almost applaud the porn stars. They get acceptance in society. We're not there yet. And with the caveat, and my heart goes out to them, the only thing that I think that society views below us in this realm would be the transsexual sex workers. For some reason, society drops them one step lower than us. Mm. And like I said, my heart goes out to them. Anybody who's not treated equal, I don't think it's okay.
Mm. Next to last question. One of America's most famous Johns of recent years, the last 5 years, recently stuck his head out from a hole in the ground. Elliot Spitzer this week said that he was going to run for office again, and he's having to, or the media is dredging up all these stories about him from way back. Have you ever found yourself in a situation like that with a politician or someone famous where it was a little off the main from, just dealing with somebody, day to day?
See, okay. Well, that's what we get paid for. We get paid not to tell anybody about that. So if it ever was there, I've already been paid not to say anything. It's part of the job. I'm sure we all find ourselves, the longer you're in any business, it's a numbers game. The things that happen in that business are probably going to at least drop on your doorstep. You know, so most of us who've been in the business a while, we've at least knocked on those doors. You get paid for your discretion, you know, and that's a good thing. People need privacy somewhere in the world, so...
Well, I'm only going to ask you this because he stuck his head up this week. If he wasn't running for office, I would never ask. But just out of curiosity, I mean, has Elliot Spitzer ever darkened your door, your phone, or your website?
I have never met Elliot Spitzer in any way, and I have to tell you, although I may not agree with his politics and the things he was doing, I find it just crazy how they use somebody's personal life or something like this to run them out of office. I mean, it doesn't matter what side of the coin they're on, and even if I am totally against what somebody stands for, you know, people's private lives should be their private lives. This should not be illegal. It is crazy. There's a need for human intimacy, you know?
I think the biggest strike against him was that he kept his black socks on the whole time he had sex. That's just a frightening image, don't you think? Well, you wouldn't. I mean, you know.
Well, listen, now in Nevada, some rodeo cowboys keep their boots on. It's a superstition.
Yeah.
So, you know, the black socks, we're it's not as bad.
Oh, come on. You know, you got a cowboy keeping his boots on. That's a lot different than a liberal New Yorker keeping his black sock. I don't know. All right. I won't go there any further. Sorry for that question. So what are you doing? You're launching the movie right now, and then going forward, my sense from your site is that you're continuing to work, even from talking to you, you're continuing to work as an escort. Will you do another movie at some point? Did you enjoy this enough that you would want to pursue that in another way, or what else is on your plate?
I loved it. And yes, I so want to do another one. I actually, when we finished the movie, I retired, worked on this, and thought I'd retire. I've never gone to film school. It's crazy this movie even got made. I had no idea what I was stepping into when I did it. And what happened is I found how expensive Post was.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you don't have that information to start with. And if you really don't think your film's going to go that far, Post isn't that expensive. But as you go into it, there's more and more and more needs. And that's what had me return to this industry. If it does well, what I'm hoping to do is pay back any debts and do another film. That's what I want to do, because I think that this industry has so much more depth. I think that the men in this industry have been so marginalized. They're always made out to be these horrible people. And that's just not true. The majority of them are amazing men. And I like to sort of flip it maybe and talk a little bit about the other side. So.
Very good. All right. Well, folks, listen, you can find the Blu-ray or DVD of American Courtesans, a documentary about the lives of sex workers in America, starring and also executive produced by my guest today, Kristen D'Angelo, in great stores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. And then Kristen is going to tell us that it's available on demand as of July 12th in pretty much everywhere?
My film, American Courtesans, will be available on demand in over 100 million homes across the U.S. and Canada starting this Friday. Some of the cable systems are some of the largest around, including Comcast, Time Warner, Cox, Bright House, and iTunes. I love iTunes, you guys. I'm an Apple girl, so... You can go there. You can buy the DVD Blu-ray at Mr. Media. You can also buy it at our website, AmericanCourtesans.com, where you can also read a lot more about each of the individual women. So,
all right, and I'm not going to go all Beavis and Butthead here and giggle because you said Cox. all right, so the website.
I giggled for you there.
just took care of that for me. Thank you. Okay, so folks, and you'll see the website below Kristen here. It's AmericanCourtesans.com. You can also go to her personal site. It's Kristen with an E, KristenDeAngelo.com. Also, if you're that interested in escort services, there are reviews of her work on the eroticreview.com. Yes, I did my research. You're also, I think, on Twitter.
Yes, I'm on Twitter. It's just twitter.com/KristenDeAngelo. It's KDNA, you know, those letters, but I don't know if you have to type that in to get me on Twitter.
No, I think it'll work either way.
Okay.
All right. And we'll have the links to all that on Mr. Media. Kristen, delightful to talk to you. It was a very interesting film to watch. And thank you very much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
It was great talking to you, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, The TechCrunch Headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJs, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJs or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening. Today's episode of Mr. Media Interviews is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know GoDaddy.com from their wild and sexy commercials, but isn't it time you actually test drove their web hosting and domain registration services yourself? For a limited time, Mr. Media listeners can save 10% on the already low price of web hosting services at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code POD4 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off web hosting when you go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD4, that's P-O-D, the number 4, at checkout.